This word had an interesting origin. A week or so ago, Larry sent me lyrics to a song he's just written. And I was very blessed by the message of the song. And the Lord just started speaking to me out of that. So I'd like to share that word with you this morning. And after the word, I'm going to have Larry sing the song for us. It's just not that complicated. We talk about the spiritual life, our life in Christ, walking with God. Our minds can't prepare us for that reality. It's very simple. It's very focused. Without God affecting our thinking, life is very complicated. Our minds are complicated. There's different layers. There's a subconscious layer. There's that conscious thought. There's all our history, all these different things affecting how we think. And without God touching our mind, we're trapped by that. We can improve our intellect. We can add more knowledge. Look at technology today. You can see the knowledge just multiplying. But how do we change the way that we think? How do we think with a different perspective where we think from the throne? We think from the mind of Christ. No matter how intelligent we are, we can't bring about those changes to our thinking. But that's what God wants to bring. There's a saying, there's no cure for being human. And I believe that. As much as we struggle with our flesh, we need to know foundation for new covenant life is that we are forgiven and we are accepted. But once we have that truth, God intends to bring change to the way we think and to our lives. Transformation is part of a walking with God. A renewed mind, the mind of Christ, is to be our reality here on earth, not just when we go to heaven. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Verse 2, it's Paul speaking of his jealousy for the body, and he goes, I betroth you to one husband, that to Christ. It's kind of interesting, the apostolic heart. There's so much emphasis today about apostles and prophets and, you know, being a part of apostolic companies. But we need to understand the apostolic heart is all about people experiencing oneness with Christ. And whoever you identify with or feel you belong to, if that ministry is not bringing you more into that awareness of your marriage to the Lord, something's wrong somewhere. Amen. Verse 3, Paul says, I'm afraid lest as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. If I could read from the Amplified, the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. It's simple. The spiritual life is this verse. The devotion to Christ. It's all about that relationship with Him. Our natural mind will lead us 1,000 different directions and try to complicate everything when we lose that precious truth. Whenever we're trying to control life, isn't that a product of our natural way of thinking? We're led away from that simplicity that's in Christ. Purity of devotion to Christ. Now we see how the world around us impacts our thinking. Everything about this age, if you let it affect your thinking, your thoughts are just scattered, going 1,000 different directions, and you're traveling on a highway of anxiety, right? It's not like it's a smooth ride. But in the Lord, it's completely different. It's not about 1,000 different things. It's all about Him. The realm of religion will lead us away from the simplicity and devotion to Christ. If we're not aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, if we're not aware of how religion affects us, our minds get tainted and polluted. Even though we have the right teaching and the right doctrine, religion cannot renew your mind. Only the Spirit can.
That's right.
My burden today, and this is a simple word. As a body of Christ, as the church, we focus on so many things that don't matter. We need to get back to the one thing that does matter, who the Lord Jesus Christ is to us and through us. That's the reality the world needs now. Matthew chapter 11. Familiar verses. Verses 28 through 30. And I'm going to read it from the Message Bible. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unfolded rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In the Amplified, it talks about being overburdened, having that wrong yoke. I love this translation. Jesus was talking to people and says, come to me. We're talking about the simplicity and devotion to Christ. Again, it's about learning to come to the Lord Jesus. A different yoke we take on when that happens. It's interesting. He says, come to me and learn of me. You take this yoke. That yoke is what comes into your thinking. That yoke is what renews our mind. And all of a sudden, when we have that yoke, we start learning of him. And who is the Lord? He talks about here, I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. The yoke that God brings and that simplicity of just focusing on him, the Lord, we start experiencing the humility that he is. And what follows from humility? You will find rest. Unless we're experiencing the humility of Christ's Spirit and relating to that, unless we have that yoke affecting how we think, we do not have rest. Very simple, isn't it? But so powerful. The yoke that we carry so often, is it light? Is it an easy yoke that he's talking about? No, it's a heavy burden. We're carrying the world on our shoulders. Oh, God's got to do so much here. This planet's so messed up. It is. But the yoke of Jesus Christ is not something heavy that depresses you or makes you anxious or wears you out. There's not a sense of futility with it. His yoke is light. It comes, we experience his humility, and we find rest in him. And that's the yoke that transforms the world that we live in. The renewed mind means we're able to focus on one thing that is important and dismiss the rest. Luke 10, Mary and Martha, you know the story. Jesus comes to their home. Two totally different approaches to how to receive the Lord. Martha represents, I think, our human religious nature and most often what we see in church. Jesus is coming. What can I do for him? Right? We want to work. We want to make the house clean for him. Mary says, Jesus is coming. Wow, I get to sit at his feet and learn of him. The problem with Martha is not being a servant. The problem is when we try to serve without first listening to him, we're led into many distractions and worries. And that's what he says in Luke 10. I'll read it to you. I know you know it, but I'll read it anyway. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and burdened about so many things. Only a few things are necessary, really only one. There it is, that one thing again, that simplicity. Jesus wasn't saying, don't serve me. Don't be a servant. He was saying, one thing is important. Relate to me. Sit at my feet. Listen to me. Know my heart. Know who I am. So we have these parts within us. Do you throw out the Martha? No. First the Mary. Once you sit at his feet and you listen to him, then you know how to serve. Service comes out of that. Nothing wrong with a clean house, but pay attention to the guest that's in your home. Listen to what he has to say. Only one thing had eternal significance. That's what Mary was doing. When we turn to the Lord, you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 3? For everyone on a human level, there's a veil affecting the human mind. When one turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. Do you know where that verse originated or where that verse comes from? Exodus 24:24, I believe. Oops. I can't even see with my glasses on. Let's see. No, let's see. That's not the verse. 34:34. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take off the veil until he came out. And Paul is referencing that in 2 Corinthians 3. When we turn to the Lord, when we focus on the one thing that's important, it affects the veil, the darkness over our thinking. Something begins to change. What's the next verse in 2 Corinthians? The Lord is the Spirit. When we're talking about turning to the Lord, you can think, well, what does that mean? Do I read the Bible more, what it has to say about Jesus, so I have more thoughts about what he said, what he did? Oh, that's always good. We're talking about the one thing of turning to the Lord. It's more than just our minds looking at Bible scriptures. It's relating to the Spirit within us. The Lord is the Spirit. We're turning to the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And in that one simple focus, everything changes. Our minds do not stay the same. When we turn to Him and look in the Spirit, something begins to change as far as that veil being lifted. We begin to think differently. And I want to touch on just two areas with that. We learn to be thankful. We learn to trust. Thankfulness in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful for some of the things that you find your... No, wait a minute. It says... No, that's how I've lived. Be thankful for some things. Okay, be thankful for all things. For this is the will of God. Psalm 100, verse 4. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. That thankful heart to be able to appreciate. We hear that and say, oh, I know I'm grumbling and complaining too much. I got to just get with it and change. Learning to be thankful is a spiritual quality that develops when the veil is taken away. As long as our minds are clouded by what's in this age or religion, we'll be convicted often of not being thankful enough. We just don't change. You want to appreciate God's blessings? Let that veil lift up where you're aware of His presence. And thankful heart, we enter His gates. We enter His presence with a thanksgiving, right? Being thankful, you're in motion, folks. Being thankful is not just saying, God, I'm looking out, what a wonderful day. Now I'll go on my business. A thankful heart is moving always into the presence of God. Amen. And it's always doing the will of God. This is the will of God, that you be thankful. We look at trust in Psalm 37:5. It says, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him. Commit your way. In other words, turn over your will. To trust in the Lord means we're turning over our self-will to Him. And then we can trust in Him. That is more than just having faith for things. Trusting in Him is a relationship. You're saying, God, you are who you say you are. I can trust my life into your hands. Amen. From that, He does what He said He's going to do. Isaiah 26:3 says, the mind that's... Oh, let me read that real quick. That's familiar scripture again. The mind that stayed upon thee, thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in thee. Okay. When we have that one thing, our mind's on the Lord, there's peace, and the reality is, the veil comes down where we're able to trust Him with our entire being, our life. In 2 Chronicles 20, we find a battle that was taking place. Judah was being besieged by, I believe it was the Moabites, and it says the Ammonites and a few others thrown in the mix here. And Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and he's very troubled by this. And you read this 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, he comes before God, he begins to pray and look to the Lord. He remembers the one thing that's important. when in trouble, when overwhelmed by all these circumstances and the fear of being wiped out, he comes before God. He says, "We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee." Beautiful. This is what it means to be human. You come before God, I feel powerless with my life. All these things coming against me. But my eyes are on thee. I'm remembering the one thing that's important. Now, what happened with this? God speaks to him. The battle is not yours, but God's. Don't worry about it. Go out against them. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 20, you'll read this. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Verse 21, the army went out. People went out before it, those who were singing, praising. It says, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. As they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Do you remember what happened? The Lord set up an ambush. The enemy basically wiped out themselves. End of story. What's taking place? Jehoshaphat, before the Lord, my eye is on you. He remembers the one thing that's important. God speaks, don't worry, the battle's not yours, I'll take care of it. That veil comes down, and what's happening? They're trusting God, verse 20. They're thanking God, verse 21. Thankfulness and trust come forth. What happens to the enemy in that atmosphere? Annihilated, done away with. Amen. That's the pattern for how we walk with the Lord in the Spirit. When we deal with the one thing, I really think it applies to discipline too. We talk about discipline. Often when we think about the discipline of the Lord, we, even though it sounds kind of funny to say this, we think, oh, I know God loves me. But honestly, I think deep down inside, there's that subconsciously, at least there's that reaction of God's mad at me. Somewhere he's not happy with me. And we need to realize with discipline, it's not that God is upset with us for being human. He made us this way. He's not angry with us. We complicate it and think of all the things going on in our life. I'm doing this wrong. I'm doing that wrong. Often discipline has to do with one thing. Often there's just one area that the love of God is putting his finger on. And it's always for our good. He disciplines us. Why? So he can share his holiness with us. Yes. The rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 had done all these things for the Lord, walking in the law the best that he could. And Jesus said, just one thing you lack. See, the finger of God, it was a loving finger, just said, this one area is all I want from you. Kind of big, isn't it? Turn over your riches to me and follow me. But I think the more that we get into this single focus of just relating to Jesus Christ, we're going to find the discipline of the Lord is not some heavy thing or just across the board, everything that's wrong with me. We'll be able to sense by the Spirit the one area maybe that God's just putting his finger on and say, okay, Lord, I give it to you. Now, whatever he puts his finger on is generally impossible for us to do, isn't it? The disciples looked at the Lord and said, oh my gosh, how can anybody walk with you? Jesus said, what's impossible for men is possible for God. So whenever God puts his finger on it, you probably aren't going to be able to do it. You have to say, by the grace of God. And that's the whole point. All right, we're getting ready to close here. I thought about this one thing as it relates to our destiny and ministry. We think about the ministry of Paul moving in all these gifts, and we want to do so much for God. You know, I want you just to think about this. Hebrews 11 is a chapter of faith, isn't it? It's not by how much we do for God. But out of that single devotion to the Lord, it's the things that he puts on our heart. And often it's just the one thing that we do that receives so much honor in the realm of spirit. And in Hebrews chapter 11, let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse 31, he's talking about all these great people of faith. Just look at this verse. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. I think it's kind of funny, and I've said this before. You want to be mentioned in the book of faith, but if you have an occupation of being a prostitute, you probably don't want that part mentioned with your name, right? I mean, look at this. Rahab the harlot. It mentions who she was in the natural. It mentions that weakness, obviously, that sin of prostitution. But that's not the issue. By faith, she did one thing right. One thing in her heart that she did right in protecting the spies. Here she is in a chapter listed with all the heroes that have walked with God. Listen to your heart. Don't look at your flesh. Don't look at your humanity and say, well, I've got to clean my act up. I've got all these things going on. That's the complications of the natural mind. The spiritual mind will tune you into what God's put in your heart. Just do what He's put in there. Amen. We're all meant to be a part. Hebrews 11 didn't end with verse 40. Hebrews 11 has been an ongoing reality throughout spiritual history. We're all meant to be a part of that chapter of faith. What's going to be important in that chapter is not looking at our human side and saying, I didn't measure up. Rahab the harlot, that's not a compliment there. You don't, again, you wouldn't want that kind of description. But she's there because in faith she did the one thing that God put in her heart. Ruth, I think, is another beautiful example. Ruth is encouraged by her mother-in-law, Naomi. Go back to your own land after their husbands die. Don't stay with me. And Naomi was not an easy person to be with. She's described as kind of a bitter woman, complaining. She tells Ruth, go back to your own land so you can remarry. You know what Ruth said. We all know the words. I will not leave you. Your God will be my God. Where you die, where you lodge, I will lodge. On and on. We look at that and say, well, Ruth, you know, her mind could have told her, well, you know, you're not going to find a husband if you stay with your mother-in-law, go into a strange land. You got to think about your future, you're young, on and on and on. One thing in Ruth's heart, I'm going to be with Naomi. God put one thing in my heart, I'm going to do it. Amen. She followed that one thing, and what happened? She fell into destiny. She was the great-grandmother of David, right? Something like, yeah? Great-grandmother, I believe. How was destiny created? Ruth wasn't sitting there thinking, okay, what's the will of God for my life? I got to figure this out. She just followed her heart. And the one thing that God put in her heart brought about the spiritual destiny He had for her. Upper room. Jesus is leaving the disciples. Whole new age is to begin. 40 days with them, how can that be enough time to train these guys for all that was going to take place? You wouldn't have enough time to have the seminars and the teachings and everything else they would need. Plus, these guys had not proven too faithful, right? Peter denying the Lord, they all scattered after the crucifixion. Jesus tells them one thing, go into the upper room and wait. One thing He puts in their heart, and those that followed that, that's all it took for a whole new age to come into being. One thing. The Lord, our relationship with Him. You say, well, I thought it's all about the Father. Well, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When we make it all about Christ, it becomes automatically all about God because the Son reveals the Father. One thing we have is His Spirit indwelling us. Let's get to know the Spirit. Let's listen to that reality. Let's get out of the complications and the futility of our human thinking and find the one precious gem we have inside and relate to that gem, the Lord by the Spirit. And that relating to the one thing that's important is what changes how we think. It brings transformation to our minds. Amen. At this time, I'd like to turn the service over to Larry, and he's going to share a song with us. Thank you.
world out there has many problems. The cold hard fact is, alone you cannot solve them. You dig deep in your mind, but you just can't figure it out. So you leave your heart and your thoughts remain in doubt. It's not that complicated when you give it up to God. It's not that complicated when you give up all control. It's not that complicated when you leave it to the Lord. There are things down here that I just can't comprehend. Why is there hate and discontent when all we do is pretend? The people down here cloud their minds with fog. Where do I fit in this great big plan from God? It's not that complicated when you give it up to God. It's not that complicated when you give up all control. It's not that complicated when you leave it to the Lord.
Okay, we're ready to have our, is today the first Sunday of the month? I think it is, September 1st, so Lord bless our time of fellowship together as we continue on in His presence. Amen. We're dismissed. Amen.